Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
The Redeemer redeems another week off. Oh, my God. Good evening, everybody. How you doing tonight? AEW Dynamite just went off the air. Welcome back, Bryan Danielson. No shame in passing out, giving Daniel Garcia the biggest win in his career. Look, there are some wrestlers in AEW that are smoke and mirrors. Case in point, a tag team that was split up tonight that really pissed me off because we must have said it at least 10 times over the last 18 months. They ain't ever going to get tag titles. Just think about it. For a promotion that has like 16 fucking belts, Hobbs and Starks can't get a tag team run at all. You know, I mean, is there any other small little promotion that Tony Khan could buy to give them tag titles? That's not happening. FTW title, with all due respect, how many times they got to tell us it's an unsanctioned title? Ring of Honor belts, IWGP belts, AAA belts, FTW belts. I'm watching AE goddamn W programming. We should only give a shit about the AEW championships. Everything else should feel like outside looking in. I don't care what you own. I don't care what you love. We're watching AEW programming, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about NXT. We'll talk about Ric Flair. Woo! Woo! This is the guy, everybody. Look, I know this is going to be harsh. I know this is going to be harsh. But hey, you got to tell it like it is. Ric Flair said that he's going to look better than he did from those matches going back to what? Hulkamania in Australia? Look at this up close. That looks like a bad Halloween mask. How can you tell me that someone that looks like that should be having a last match? Especially with a pacemaker, especially with all his health issues. I beg to God, please do not give us a tragedy. Do not give us a tragedy. Just because he has given us 50 years of sports entertainment. No, 50 years in the ring, just because he loves it, he misses it, doesn't mean you should be giving in. That does not look like someone that should be in the ring. I don't give a fuck who it is. I don't give a shit if it's my favorite all-time wrestler. It's like a horror film. It's like Rob Zombie's promoting that. Why would you even put pictures like that out there? Maybe you put them in black and white. I don't know, Photoshop them. Look at this. It's like when you go to like a 99-cent store and you buy a rubber mask. That's what it looks like. The fuck is that all over his face? Do I have to zoom in on this? I mean, how do you put out a picture like that? High definite. This is what we want to see. This is what we want to pay because he wants to do it. Good, good. Every dumb schmuck out there that wants to do something stupid that they shouldn't be doing, we should turn around and say, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll talk about it later. Oh, Ric Flair's making crazy money. They're charging like $99 packages, so just to sit and watch streams. But let's talk about that a little later. Because we don't have too much time tonight. Earlier today, I recorded the Q&A, which will stream tomorrow. I might release it at like 12 noon. This way, our international friends could enjoy it at a reasonable time. So that'll be posted tomorrow. I want to thank everybody who sent in their questions over the last 2 weeks. Great mailbag. I will give you a little warning that, what was that? That Plan B? that footage that came out from 1979, that became an interesting topic of conversation. So you will see clips of that. All right, let's bring this, reel this in a little bit. Let's talk about the biggest news tonight. Now, if you have been paying attention to my shows, you could see it in past synopsis. Just go in my channel, type in the word Trios, and you will see that we talked about it on more than one occasion. Once Forbidden Door was out of here, Trios title tournament would start. And today, AEW announced their Trios championship tournament will begin with your Trios champions being crowned at the AEW All Out pay-per-view. Good. Excellent. AEW, this is their six-sided ring, everybody. This is their six-sided ring. Now, I know what some of you are going to say to me immediately. DT, wait, hold the horses. We have had six-man tag team championships in previous years. The Fabulous Freebirds, probably the most notorious. New Day, to a certain extent. Difference is that New Day, you know, it wasn't three titles. It was two being defended by three people, which is, you know, if you really take a step back, you say to yourself, how did they get away with that shit? Seriously. You know, but this is the first promotion in my lifetime that truly specialized in trios wrestling. You know, somebody posted something on a super chat, kind of read my mind a little bit. I have something to say later, but you realize now that in Tony Khan's mindset, the trios championships are more important than standard tag team championships. Some people also feel like Jade Cargill's TBS championship feels more important than the AEW Women's Championship. It's all about perception. But I tell you, these belts look beautiful. I like it. I'm looking forward to this tournament. Now, I don't know if you saw a little teaser tonight on Dynamite. This may spell bad news for Kenny Omega fans out there, because we had a subtle little interaction tonight with the Young Bucks and Hangman Page. And Hangman Page shows up drinking a bottle of water. Interesting. And you see the Young Bucks. And tomorrow, I believe, is Hangman Page's birthday. And before the Young Bucks could have a little conversation with Hangman Page, here comes the Dark Order. And the Dark Order are basically all showering, you know, surrounding Hangman Page. So the Young Bucks walk away. Now, in my interpretation of it, I think the Young Bucks and Hangman Page may end up being your trios team for this tournament. Maybe Hangman Page, you know, he has to make a decision. Does he team up with Alex Reynolds and John Silver, or does he team up with the Young Bucks? We're certainly not getting Brandon Cutler in the trios tournament. But, yeah, it does look like Kenny Omega will not be back in time. Look, All Out is September 4th. It's only 5 weeks away. I should know. I'm getting married the day before. So trust me, when it comes to counting down the days, yeah, I could feel it. Even if Kenny Omega were to return, he has to get back into ring shape. You don't hear any buzz about him working out at the Nightmare Factory, getting, you know, his stamina back. You know, we're only talking 5 weeks away, and you have to start this tournament. This tournament has to start, I would think, next week. That's why they really did not announce too much for Dynamite. I think on Rampage this Friday, they announced at least one tournament match. Maybe they announced the brackets, or you know what? If I was Rampage, if I was AEW or Rampage, because you know they draw shit numbers now, I would not announce too much as far as, like, the whole tournament. But they should tease that the brackets will be announced on next week's Dynamite. So, Bad Shade says his cousins get married the same day as me. Awesome. Very cool. So, you know, the Trios tournament is going to begin. Now, I would love for all of you, I mean, I ask, sometimes you oblige, sometimes you don't, in the comment section. In fact, let's do a little contest. contest. I just thought about it. Let's do a little contest. It's going to take 5 weeks to determine a winner. But between now and next Wednesday, and yes, we could go back and look at the timestamp, post in the comment section, not the chat room, in the comment section after the show's over, who you think the first AEW Trios Tag Team Champions will be. Will it be the Blackpool Combat Club? Will it be the Undisputed Elite? Will it be the Young Bucks and Hangman Page? So you have 1 week to post it there. What we'll give away? I don't know. I have somebody trying to get me some Tony Khan autograph shit. So maybe we'll give away a Tony Khan autograph. No, it's not going to be, you know, I know a lot of you out there, the running joke is that Tony Khan likes the white powder. You know, we're not going to have any spoons autographed. If we get autographs, it'll probably be like photos. Maybe we'll do more than one winner. You know, maybe everybody that predicts the match right, you know, we'll do a wheel like we always do for the watch parties. Maybe we'll do that. But I promise you the prize will be good. It'll be bigger than what we normally do. So, Michael, not everybody wants Tony Khan's autograph, but I guarantee you people on eBay probably get $200, $300 for a legit Tony Khan autograph. So even if you don't want it, throw it on auction. Sell it. I don't care. You win it. You do what you want with it. I had a guy, I think it was like 5 years ago, I had a guy who won a contest from me. And I don't remember what, I think it was a Don Tony Kevin Cashel like grub package. You know, we gave away like mugs, photo, bobbleheads, this and that. And the guy emails me a little video of him with his phone tearing my signed photo in half and breaking the bobbleheads. Like he was insulting me. I'm like, you're the schmuck that, you know, you threw them, you broke them. Like, I don't really care. You won the contest so you could destroy everything. So, whatever. So, we have the Trios tournament. Another tournament. And yes, three more belts. But you are seeing very quickly what titles truly matter to AEW and Tony Khan, and what wrestlers matter to AEW and Tony Khan. We could get into this for a few seconds. We're not going to talk about Ring of Honor. You know, we got into the Gresham situation over the weekend with him leaving Ring of Honor. But another story that came out afterwards, which is not a news story. It's just a lot of people, when it first broke a year, year and a half ago, they just ignored it because they want to rub the elbows, you know, with AEW as much as they can. And that is the lack of communication with talent relations. Now, the report that came out from this weekend is that some wrestlers were complaining that they have a lot of difficulty communicating with Tony Khan or talent, you know, talent relations, Christopher Daniels, Pat Buck, and others. Bizarro Land, I'm defending their talent relations department. I'm defending AEW because what people need to understand, and I'm not trying to disrespect any of the people involved, but as we talked about over the weekend, it's not because he's black. It's not because he's shorter than your average wrestler. It's because Jonathan Gresham is not a Tony Khan guy. You look at Tony Khan, you look at his history. It's not a white or a black thing with Tony Khan. It's not about a tall or short person. It's Bryan Danielson. It's Claudio Castagnoli. It's Christopher Daniels. It's Sonjay Dutt. It's, you know, Jay Lethal. It's everybody who gave him that special feeling inside when he wore Bullet Club shirts at Ring of Honor events back in the day. Some of the wrestlers today, it's his fantasy list. You know, that's Tony Khan. It's his promotion. He can do what he wants. But when you look at Jonathan Gresham in Ring of Honor, it's not a guy that Tony Khan has really followed and, you know, gushed over for the last bunch of years. So when Jonathan Gresham, you know, look at Bandido and others, you hear some of these names, you could figure out who's a Tony Khan guy and who is not. It's as clear as that. When they started the new promotion and you had wrestlers working in the offices of AEW, they recommended all of their buddies to be in the company. and Tony Khan signing and signing because he's got to fill up. He's got to have a certain number of people to fill the roster. And then you end up with your Joey Janela's, your Marco Stunts, your, you know, the anorexic Rick Rude. What the hell is his name again? You know, anorexic Rick Rude. I'm drawing a blank with him. Thank God. I don't like thinking about Peter Avalon. Motherfucker Don Tony for remember that. Peter Avalon. Every time I have to slap myself. You know, nothing against those guys. Joey Janela's transformed his body. He's really like upped his value quite a bit. I'm not knocking any of those people, but you could tell they're not Tony Khan guys. If they were, Tony Khan is a billionaire. You think it makes a big deal if he just adds another 60 grand for someone that he gushes over? So when you look at the wrestlers who complain that they have a difficult time communicating, how's this? Instead of running to a wrestling journalist, look in the fucking mirror and say, I'm not a Tony Khan guy. Tony Khan is in the gorilla position. Tony Khan is backstage. If we had backstage passes, we probably would smell him every time we walked by. That energy does give off some, you know, armpit smell. I heard that Tony Khan has smelly armpits. Hey, breaking news. I don't give a shit. He works his ass off. You know, I'd rather have smelly armpits from working hard than just not taking a shower. But these guys should realize we're not high in the food chain. You're not going to get as much attention. So I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but when I read these stories that there's miscommunication and they're difficult reaching out, motherfucker, just go right up to the person. Maybe that's why people resist the hugs. Maybe he gets close and they're like, oh my God, it smells like a rotten fucking skankelpita, you know, that spinach pie. I had spinach pie for dinner tonight, so... Kavan, you could be a billionaire. You could own a deodorant company. You work in Florida and you're out running around in the back. I don't think Tony Khan every 10 seconds is going to go in the bathroom and go, tss, 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 tss. You know, people do give off smell, you know, spanakopita, whatever it is, spinach pie. I say spinach pie. So I actually... am not finding any issues with their talent relations. I think this is a story because of it, of WWE with talent relations and John Laurinaitis and all the other shit that's going on. Add a little controversy here. Now, when we get into the Ric Flair card later on, Jonathan Gresham is supposed to appear. So, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's get back to AEW a little bit with tonight. And something that pissed me off. This group is no longer. If you tuned in to last week's Wednesday Night Dynamite, I told you that it'd be interesting if we see Hook come out to confront Ricky Starks after Ricky Starks beats Danhausen's ass. And tonight on AEW Dynamite, after Ricky Starks beat Danhausen, he felt like having another match. His entire AEW career, he's won matches quickly and never wanted to have a second match, but you knew it was going to happen. I think all of you out there knew who was coming out. And sure enough, here comes Hook. Hook defeats Ricky Starks to win the FTW title. Crowd loved it. He looked great. Give the guy props. He's definitely doing a decent job. Again, not an AEW championship, but, you know, good visual nonetheless. So Hook is your new FTW champion. Michael Gonzalez doesn't understand what people see in Hook. Well, as far as women go, okay, you got that right there. As far as young guys go, he's got an awesome theme song. He's got a good look about himself. He's Taz's son. You know, he gives off. You know what's interesting about Hook? You either feel that he's cool or he's a smug little dick. it's interesting when I talk to people that I mingle with online, a lot of like chat room or DM conversations. I say, what do you think of Hook? I don't get in middle all that much. One thing I will say, a lot of people in wrestling say that motherfucker works his ass off in the school, works his ass off in the gym. I know he looks like he's 130 pounds soaking wet. The guy works his ass off, really trying to do his job good. And that's appreciated. You know, FTW title is probably the best way to go with him. You know, I don't think, you know, it's a title that needs to be utilized all that much. It's not a recognized AEW belt. But what upset me about tonight, anybody that follows my shows for a year and a half, you know, I don't ask for much in AEW. One thing I really wanted to see was Hobbs and Starks to become AEW Tag Team Champions. Not just because I really like Hobbs, and I want to see him have a championship run, something that has AEW stamped on it, not anything else, but that team really should have gone a hell of a lot further than it has. And a year and a half ago, it started feeling really a lot like smoke and mirrors. When he started doing a little bit of work with Dante Martin, just when you think Hobbs gets a little momentum, it stops. Same thing with Dante Martin back in the day. Just when you think there's a little bit of momentum, it stops. Because these guys, and I know some people are going to hate when I say this, you think they're truly Tony Khan guys? No, they're not. They're not. They're not money makers. They're not big ratings draws. They might be fan favorites, but Doink the Clown was a fucking fan favorite back in the day. Danhausen is a huge fan favorite. He loses in 32 seconds. So you can tell who is truly valued by Tony Khan, because he's the one with the say. And these guys had just never felt they were going to get any run whatsoever. You know, all we saw week after week after week, they're in the rafters, they're calling out Swerve Strickland, they're calling out this person, they're calling here, and nothing really ever amounted to it. They're with Dan Lambert, they're with this or that, whoever they're teasing, it never felt like it was going anywhere. It just felt like it was eating up time. And then what happens tonight? Ricky Starks, he cuts a tremendous promo. He cuts a tremendous promo about, you know, that he should have more than 30 seconds airtime or this, this, and that, and, you know, really passionate about it's his time. I loved his promo. But let's take a step back and be realistic for a minute. You think suddenly AEW is elevating this guy? You think suddenly he's going to be feuding with Guevara? Suddenly, do you think he's going to get the TNT championship? Do you think suddenly he's going to feud for a heavyweight championship? Or does it feel like another distraction that this time around, for no fucking reason whatsoever, Powerhouse Hobbs lays him out so these two guys are going to fight each other? No, this is what's going to happen. They're going to cut promos for 3 weeks, and then we'll get some bullshit interaction. Then we may get a match, and then you're going to realize 5-6 weeks have gone by, and neither guy has elevated at all. That's what it feels like. And sorry. Somebody, look at Toni Storm in WWE. Look at Toni Storm in WWE, okay? All right, it didn't work out. She left. She did it professionally. I'm not disrespecting Toni Storm. But how long was Toni Storm on the main roster before people were like, the fuck are they doing with Toni Storm? They're not elevating her. They're not doing nothing with her. You know, forget the pie in the face stuff for a minute. But the perception was, within a couple of weeks, people are like, what are they doing with her? Do you realize fucking Hobbs is in that company for 3 years? I mean, after 3 weeks, people bitch about Toni Storm and how she's used. This motherfucker's in that company for 3 years. And you see, and all this is going to do is just put a distraction. And sorry, when you have almost 20 titles in that company, and that motherfucker can't even get one? Come on. So, as much as I loved Ricky Starks' promo, in fact, guess what? I'll give a little teaser. in the Q&A that I recorded today. I think it might have been Soul Fly that asked the question. He said to me, if I was having a wrestling company right now, which would I choose, Ricky Starks or Austin Theory? Which would I choose? And I chose Ricky Starks, and I explained why. I am a big fan of Ricky Starks. It sure as hell does not feel like this is going anywhere. Oh, I'm sure we'll get a really nice Dynamite match in the near future of Starks versus Guevara or somebody else. Well, who do you think is going to be on the winning side of that? It's just how I feel. I'm expressing my opinion on that. So Starks, beautiful promo, enjoyed. Hook, you know, did great job. Hobbs, you know, but at the end of the day, Team Taz is dead. Do we feel like anybody advanced tonight? I don't know. Maybe some of you feel otherwise, but that's how it felt to me. Okay, now we got to talk about this guy. Let me pull it. Okay. Big Sal, the 20 spot. Thoughts on Josh Woods and Tony Nese getting the first crack against Keith Lee and Swerve. Last week, and we talked about it Saturday when we recapped Rampage, this was now going to be 2 weeks. Next week is 3 weeks that Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland are AEW Tag Team Champs. And what did I say last week? We don't even know who the fuck they're going to feud with. Last week we had a bullshit celebration with rappers punching Tony Nese in the mouth legit. Cake being shoved in the face. Oh, my God, it was horrible for Tony Nese. But it's, you know, Sterling Mark Sterling. I don't call him Smart Mark Sterling because he ain't smart. He's Sterling Mark Sterling. They shoved the cake in his face. And meanwhile, weeks are going by and then nothing ain't going on. So what happens today? I have nothing against this man personally. But, oh my God, it's Josh Woods. He laid out Keith Lee. Josh Woods, oh my God, he's teaming up. Who the fuck truly gives a shit about Josh Woods teaming up with Tony Nese to take on? Are you kidding me? Now you see how important these trios titles are over everything else. Josh Woods. He's not a bad wrestler. I've seen some of his Ring of Honor work. But he's laying over Keith Lee, and 99% of the honest people out there, like, this? This is what you're giving us? Him and Tony Nese get, and you know how this is going to work. This is exactly how it's going to work, everybody. They're not ranked contenders. We will get a backstage segment, maybe Friday. Maybe next week we will get a backstage segment where Keith Lee will be rubbing his noggin after being knocked out, and Swerve Strickland will be. They'll be interviewed, and they'll say, "We don't care. Greetings and salutations. We do not care that they're not ranked. Tony Khan must grant us. We want revenge against these peasants." That's my Keith Lee impersonation. They're gonna insist on a match against it. You wanted my attention. You got my attention. We want to fight you. That's how they're going to do it. Not impressed. Not impressed. Because it makes the AEW Tag Team Championships look like shit. And meanwhile, yes, FTR just had a 5-star match against the Briscoes. But does it feel like FTR is going to, you know, invade those AEW tag titles? Oh, they got 3 sets of belts. None of them had the AEW logo on them. I'm just voicing some of my displeasure. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors because at the end of the day, you see what's going on. Now, let's talk about Dynamite a little bit tonight. Bryan Danielson made his return. I don't know how I feel about what they did during the match. If you didn't see it, a lot of people online were legitimately concerned that Bryan Danielson may have had his bell rung once again. And Daniel Garcia in storyline is trying to capitalize, you know, trying to spike him on the concrete with his head first. And, you know, we went to commercial and I'm looking online and I see a lot of people that feel concerned about Bryan Danielson. Now, my immediate reaction is, let's see the foot get stuck between the ring once again. Bryan Danielson is the master of triggering people's emotion. That's not a bad thing. But the thing is that, you know, do you really want AEW to tease that Bryan Danielson is getting his head knocked for a loop? You know, because that is some really scary shit, especially he was forced in retirement for a little while. Do you mind that in storyline? I'm not complaining much, but it is something to think about. Now, for Daniel Garcia tonight, it was great. Gave him the best win of his career. And look, Bryan Danielson, they could write it off simple that he hasn't wrestled in a while. He didn't tap out. He passed out. And technically, that is AEW's way out for upper-tier wrestlers that they don't want to really put losses. Oh, I don't want Daniel Bryan to lose. I want CM Punk to lose. I want Claudio to lose. I want Adam Cole to lose. So Adam Cole lose to Orange Cassidy in a match that's not really sanctioned or anything. There's always an asterisk in some way. A little Jake Hager interference today. Bryan Danielson goes to sleep. He didn't really tap out. So that's the little asterisk when they lose. But I thought the match was great. And I hope that Bryan Danielson didn't get his head knocked for a loop. But, you know, I'm curious how you all feel if he and AEW are teasing that during matches. You know, it gets real very quickly. And, you know, you want to have concern for Bryan Danielson, obviously. I don't think it's about crying wolf. But, you know, I'm curious how you all feel about that. But the match was excellent. Daniel Garcia, if you remember, I used to joke about that guy. Then I read about his car accident. And I remember how obsessed he was to get back in the ring. And he fought his way back and really started to really pay attention to Daniel Garcia. That guy, I don't like using comparisons to Chris Benoit anymore because the guy is a fucking double murderer. But, you know, if you look at someone, no nonsense, but could really do it in the ring, he kind of reminds me of that. Speaking of old school, Jericho is going to take on Moxley in 2 weeks. What is it? Quake by the lake. Shake and bake. Quake by the lake. Kind of gives me a little bit of Muhammad Ali vibes. You know, rumble in the jungle. Quake by the lake. Pee in the sea. Have you ever done that? Have you ever pee in the sea? So we're going to get pee by the sea. Quake by the lake. Jericho is going to take on Moxley. Moxley don't want the current Jericho. He wants the Jericho from the VHS tapes. He wants Lion! How do you used to say it in Japan for Jericho? You ever hear when they announce Jericho in Japan? It almost sounds like they're going to say Lionheart. But once they get past the second syllable, it just goes off the rails. Go check out Jericho in Japan back when he was Lionheart. And you'll hear them go. It'll be something like Lionheart! Like it's nine syllables. I'm like, Lionheart, three syllables. How does it go from three syllables to Lionheart? Hey, brother. I speak Japan, sort of, but that's the Chris Jericho that Moxley wants. So in 2 weeks, we'll see what Jericho we get in that match. Moxley opens up Dynamite tonight. Jim Ross on commentary, entire show. Pretty cool. Pretty cool to see that. Did screw up a little bit. I didn't know that Moxley is 20-2 in his last 21 matches. Yes. I love JR, but I loved when JR tonight, go back and hear it. I don't even have it written down. It just like stuck in my head like glue. Tonight, Jim Ross said something like, Moxley wants to win or lose tonight. Okay. And Moxley is 20-2 in his last 21 matches. Maybe that does make sense somewhere. I don't know. But Moxley beats Rouge to open up Dynamite. Great match. Look, Rouge is legit. I was shocked that he's only been there 3 weeks, and somebody told me about like his record, and I realize you're adding like Dark and Elevation shit to it. But Rouge is legit. You know, Andrade getting involved and trying to knock Moxley off the top rope, that looked horrendous. Was not needed. And then what happens? The Lucha Bros come out and they chase Andrade away. It was just not needed. It should have just been straight 101. The match was good, and it really showcased what Rouge can do. The problem is, you know, where does this go from here? You know, like Rouge gets a title shot, and now it's who's going to be the third person to be the trios? I mean, we're not going to put Jose, the assistant, in the match. Are they going to have the third person? And please, please, God, they better not do what some people thought last week, which I think is just nonsense. You don't want Miro to get involved because they're teasing, oh, Miro kind of like, you know, he winked or whatever he did with Malakai Black. Oh, what are you going to do? I don't know what you're going to do there. It just doesn't feel like it's doing much. But Rouge had a great match with Mox. Mox beating him with the bulldog choke. Rouge really did a great job. I just don't know where it goes from here with him. Jericho Appreciation Society comes out, and here's where Jericho challenges Moxley. Anna Jay, a little different look, sort of. She's got a new attitude. She's not now Anna Jay. She's Anna J-A-S. Cute. It was funny when she was starting to get upset, and she's like, I'll choke you out. I'll choke you out. And then she goes off the rails. I'll choke you out. I'll choke you out. And then she's, you know, with the fake acting, she's like, I don't think Anna Jay should be talking too much right now. She sounds too nice, even when she's bitchy. And trust me, with some people with some perverted minds, they'll be like, hey, you could choke me out. I'll let you choke me. Yeah, choke this. Mm. Jericho beat Kingston. He's going to beat Mox in 2 weeks. He will be a two-time AEW world champion. By the way, Moxley tonight, you don't like being called interim world champion. He's like, screw the interim remark. You know, maybe a little teaser as far as, you know, like disrespecting CM Punk down the line once they actually battle it out again. But Moxley does not like the interim name. Speaking of interim, we just got this from Mr. King of Games 405. Thank you for the five spot. He wanted to know when I put the interim AEW title on MJF before CM Punk comes back. No, no, no. MJF, we talked about it on Sunday's sit-down. Tony Khan has made an unforced, brutal error in the MJF situation. If MJF was legitimately gone, Tony Khan, with all due respect, has come off like a sissy pussy, very intimidated by MJF. That guy... All he had to do is pretend that MJF was Eric Bischoff. And then Tony Khan would have gone off on MJF. We do not condone that behavior. What MJF did disrespected every single person in that locker room. We're not any bullshit other company. We don't tolerate shit like that. MJF was unprofessional and he's gone. I think Tony Khan, if that was true, that MJF is truly gone, I think Tony Khan was worried that if he opens his mouth, MJF is going to open Tony's ass and just rip that motherfucker alive. So Tony Khan backed down and came off as, you know, intimidated. Now, if MJF is a storyline, how do you bring him back to television? Even if it's a storyline, Tony Khan never addressed this guy. So either Tony Khan has to be aligned with MJF if Tony Khan ever becomes an on-air character, or MJF has to show up with a mask. It's got to be with a mask. You can't have the lights go off. I said this on Sunday. You cannot have the lights go off if MJF returns, because then that means somebody in the back knew that he was returning. Someone in the back agreed to turn the lights off. And I don't think MJF is talented that he could, like, turn the lights off, run to the ring in about 5 seconds. Is he Ultimate Warrior? It ain't happening. So MJF needs to show up unannounced and cause someone to lose a match. Maybe he causes CM Punk to lose the championship when he returns and takes on Moxley to unify it. That's the only way MJF could be brought back. It's the only way. If he is brought back. And honestly, he's got to be brought back. Because if he isn't brought back, Tony Khan looks ridiculous in this. Didn't stand up for his company. Didn't stand up for his roster. Didn't put down that behavior. Didn't send a message to his locker room that no one is bigger than AEW. Didn't defend his roster. Did none of that. All he said was, I'm going to talk about it. That sounds like a guy that doesn't know how to further the storyline. So he'll just take the, oh, I don't want to talk about it. And everybody says, okay, all right. And speaking of that, Steve Joseph, when do I see MJF returning? You know, it would be amazing. Too bad MJF doesn't have good alliance. You know, like anybody really aligned with. I mean, I know you got the Sean Spears and stuff like that, but you imagine if he had an alliance before he left with two really top guys and, you know, he came back maybe under a mask or something and ended up, you know, as a part of a trios. I think MJF could return at All Out. You know, CM Punk returning at All Out is not out of the question. Some people said he was still walking around, you know, still showing pain. Look, CM Punk, one of the greatest sellers in the ring. If you watch CM Punk matches going back 20 years, that guy will make you believe that even a little paper cut hurts on him. So he could have been working everyone at that Comic-Con or whatever that just happened. So just because people say to me, oh, CM Punk was visibly in pain and walking around and limping and this and that, I say to myself, yeah, maybe he is still hurting, or maybe he's just working everyone. So I think MJF, Guardian Kiss. Hey, Anna, choke this, choke this. What I'd like to have right now. So I think MJF could return it All Out. Maybe he causes someone to lose. Maybe he causes something with Wardlow. Wardlow is not involved tonight. So, all right. We have, as we said earlier, Ricky Starks over Danhausen. Hook then defeats Ricky Starks. Ricky cuts an awesome promo. Hobbs lays him out. Team Taz dead. Dante Martin is going to take on Sammy Guevara, and Sammy's got Ty. Dante got nobody. So Sammy got Ty. I got Sky. Didn't matter. Sammy Guevara beats Dante Martin. Decent match. After the match is over, you know, you have Anna and Ty Conti, you know, trying to, like, fuck with Sky Blue. And here comes Ruby Soho to make the save. Ruby, you know, broken hand in a limo 2 weeks ago. Ouch. Yeah, well, she's wrestling on Rampage. Little too soon, do you think? Still wearing a brace and wrestling, you know? I don't know. But that's a match when we get into the Rampage card. Ruby, Eddie, and Ortiz coming out to make the save. You know, good. Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal. They're cutting a promo. Best friends show up. Little trash talking. We find out we're going to have a 6-man tag match on Rampage Friday between those guys. Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy cuts a promo and shows everyone that when you're allowed to say naughty words, it just sounds better. You know, you could use the word shit and pussy and things like that. You could sound fucking great. I could come up here and cut a promo and call you a fucking pussy. I could call you a piece of shit. I could use a lot of dirty words like, oh, he fucking killed him with that. You know, it's the Jungle Boy using a lot of expletives tonight. And everybody's like, oh, he just called him a pussy. I thought Jungle Boy did a great job, whether there were expletives or not. And since Jungle Boy is fine going real personal, including his father, who's deceased, Christian is also willing to go deep in the woods with it. So Christian makes fun of Jungle Boy's dead father. Jungle Boy makes fun of Christian's divorce. A lot of people did not know about Christian's personal life situation, but it is true. So Jungle Boy, you know, starts really trash talking Christian. Not the greatest production, you know, Christian trying to interrupt Jungle Boy's promo. We see the split screen and Christian is like, hey, Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy's still talking. Hey, Jungle Boy. And Jungle Boy's still talking. And then finally they get it in sync and Christian starts trash talking Jungle Boy. He calls Luchasaurus a lapdog for Jungle Boy, which still doesn't make sense. And a lot of you brought up the best point of how pointless the Luchasaurus turn was. Luchasaurus beat the balls off of Griff Garrison 2 weeks in a row because he looked like Jungle Boy. Now, if that was all a ruse, if I'm Griff Garrison, I turn fucking heel and I align myself with Christian Cage. You know, it just, they never really explained it. Jungle Boy said something tonight like, no, he was, you know, making sure that nothing happens to you when I get to you and this, this, and that. You know, some of it is just awful. The Luchasaurus turn was pointless last week. It was not very good. So we cover it up today, talking about a divorce, using the pussy word and shit a few times. I'm going to beat your bitch ass. And then Christian saying that, you know, not only am I going to drape that leather jacket over you like I did before, I'm going to drape a body bag over you. And then you could get nice and cozy with your dead father again. You know, yes, raw. Very, very raw, very emotional, but these guys are willing to do it. You know, when we talked about the other day with Eddie Guerrero being used in storylines after he passed, these wrestlers are fine with it. Not every wrestler is cool with it, but a lot of wrestlers are. So as long as Jungle Boy is cool with it, Christian is cool with it, get raw and dirty on both sides. This is a feud that a lot of people are into, and they both did a great job. Jungle Boy did a great job today. Can't criticize him at all. All right, so we get a handicap match, Swerve Strickland beating Sterling, Mark Sterling, and Tony Nese. Mostly comedy shit. Keith Lee banned from ringside. So after the match is over, Swerve is celebrating. He don't realize that on the Titan, their Titantron, Keith Lee is laid out by Josh Woods. And again, you know, the announcer's making a big fucking deal, like we're supposed to make it a big fucking deal, that Josh Woods laid out Keith Lee. Sorry, 99% of everybody out there does not give a shit about Josh Woods. Decent wrestler, but, you know, it's not somebody that is regularly on everyone's television. Sorry, there's no one out there, especially in the United States, that is not featured on weekly TV, that if they walk into a place or happen to appear in a dark match or play a security guard in a WWE spot or anything, that people are just going to break down the building, cutting a, you know, tremendous pop for that person. There is nobody. Oh, but he's a Ring of Honor. This, I don't give a fuck. This is not Ring of Honor. This is AEW. So he lays out Keith Lee, and honestly, I didn't care. Then Tony Nese lays out Swerve Strickland. This storyline is awful. It's a disaster. Think about the original storyline. They want to banish Swerve Strickland. They want to get him fired from AEW. So they're walking around with a petition. Do we need to rehash Orange Cassidy's involvement? Do we need to rehash, we only need one more signature on this thing? This is AEW. That's not even a good storyline in WWE shit. Even if Vince and Bruce were the only people in that company, they wouldn't even come up with something like that. I have nothing against Tony Nese. Anybody think that Tony, oh, now he's getting a push? No, this is just filler because they're the tag champs and all the focus is going to be on the trios title for the next 6 weeks. That's what that is. Brody King wants a coffin match with Darby Allin. Okay, he beat the fuck out of Darby Allin last week. Shouldn't Darby want a coffin match against Brody? Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't Darby want this? And then Brody King looks at Malachi, is like, I destroyed this guy last week. You want a coffin match? Sure. That's what it's ass backwards. Darby should be the one. It's like Jeff Hardy. When Jeff Hardy took on The Undertaker, and then The Undertaker laid his ass out, and Jeff Hardy got up, I'm still standing. And Undertaker lays him out again, I'm still standing. And it got to the point when Undertaker actually showed respect for Jeff Hardy. No, I don't expect Brody King to show respect for Darby Allin, because Brody King is not The Undertaker. But it should be the opposite. Darby got killed last week. Darby should be the one, I want you in a coffin match. And Brody King should be like, fuck yeah. And then that's where you surprise him. That's what I would have done. But hey, that's me. Thunder Rosa over Mayu Yamashita to retain the AEW Women's Championship. That match was kind of rough. I like when Jim Ross said that Yamashita is very deliberate. We've had fun with that remark. We usually use methodical, but Yamashita is very deliberate in what she's doing. They could not get in sync. And, you know, the worst part about it was there was an exchange where they were on the apron. Thunder Rosa is trying to, like, suplex Yamashita or take her down or something. And Yamashita looks like she's out on, she's got spaghetti legs. And they're struggling. And after they struggle, Thunder Rosa kind of like lifts up Yamashita and puts her back in the ring. And the best that Yamashita could do is just sweep Thunder Rosa's legs from underneath her. This match, you know, I love Thunder Rosa. Yamashita's not that bad. We talked about her last week. She's decent. But who would they satisfying in this match? I don't care if Thunder Rosa said, this is one of my fantasy matches. I don't care if Yamashita is a make-a-wish kid. Like, who are you pleasing by having this match? New Japan? Like, tell me what audience was this supposed to satisfy tonight? You know, I mean, sign of respect afterwards, and Yamashita is going to work a couple of other promotions while in the United States. But this match, I'm like, okay, what about Athena? What about Statlander? You know, no Marina Shafir. But what about all the other women? You know, we don't need another outsider coming in. You know, all these other women, nothing's out. Oh, they're going to cut a promo. We're going to see a promo on Friday. Goody, goody. So we already talked about the main event, Bryan Danielson losing to Daniel Garcia. Excellent match, very surprising ending. Bryan Danielson passed out, and this is a huge win for Daniel Garcia going forward. This is something that he could always tout. You know, Daniel Garcia will be a future heavyweight champion. I don't know if it'll be for AEW, but he is definitely one. He's one of the very few. You know, when you talk about the pillars in AEW, I'm not saying that Daniel Garcia should be one of those pillars, but you'll hear as time goes by more and more people that will include him on that list. So he, you know, he's got to get a little bit more bulk in him, but he's definitely, definitely legit. Legit. So Rampage Friday, we have Matt Sydal versus Lee Moriarty, the teacher versus the student. Do I care that Matt Sydal trained Lee Moriarty? Do I care if he fucked Lee Moriarty? Do I care if he was his best man at his wedding? Do I care if he donated his kidney to Lee? Do I care if Lee was the godfather for Matt Sydal's son? why do I care that that teacher and that student, you know, give me a teacher and a student that we actually give a shit about on AEW television, the teacher versus the student. Anna Jay versus Ruby Soho. Ooh, Leon Ruffin versus Ethan Page. Best Friends versus Sonjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh. Next week, the Undisputed Elite will return. I'm looking forward to that. Great to see Adam Cole back on television. Hey, we got Bryan Danielson back. Adam Cole is feeling a lot better. Eventually, we'll have CM Punk back on TV. You know, we get a few other people recovering from injuries. Good. That's a good thing. So, the Undisputed Elite. And remember, Trios titles, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. On the it could very well. The finals at All Out could be Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly versus Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. If you think about TV, Hangman Page, Adam Cole. Young Bucks, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. They've already teased those. Scissor me, bitch. And I think we're going to have a little bit more of the Acclaimed and the Ass Boys on Friday as well. 2 weeks, we have Jericho versus Moxley. Next week, we also have Thunderstorm versus Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. You do realize that this interaction has been going on before Forbidden Door. So this is a feud that they don't want to end. So they will be fighting. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but it just feels like it's not going anywhere. And Matt Hardy will be taking on Christian Cage. Okay. All right. Very quickly, for those that live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, or if you live nearby, or maybe you'll be visiting Toronto in October, AEW will be visiting Toronto. They will be making their Canada debut. I remember when some people thought, what town was it in California that we thought they were coming to Canada, but it was actually California not too long ago? I don't remember what town that was, but yes, I was one of those. They're like, oh, shit, they're coming to Canada. And they're like, no, that town's in California. I was like, oops. So I deleted it super quickly. But, Nancy, we'll talk about Riddle not at SummerSlam on Saturday morning. Tonight is everything but Raw and SmackDown. We will do a good plug. Good plug. Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. Eastern. I will be right here for the Don Tony Show. We will do a regular show, and we will do a little pre-show for SummerSlam. So join me Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m., and then I'll be back here again Saturday night after SummerSlam. So we will definitely talk about that. We will talk about what will happen with Seth Rollins, because a few things being tossed around. Not everything you read online is accurate, but we'll get into that on Saturday morning. And don't forget, the Q&A will be posted tomorrow. But make a note of it. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. If you want to see AEW Dynamite, we'll be in Toronto on Wednesday, October 12th. And they will be there for Rampage on Thursday, October 13th. It'll be the Coca-Cola Coliseum. Very, very cool. So they are coming to Canada. Pretty awesome. Yeah, Jeff says it's Ontario, California. Yes, you are right. That's what it was. So, all right. Let's quickly talk about NXT. Now, we did not see this pairing yesterday on NXT, but they are working on it at house shows. They're teasing it, playing around with it, trying to see if they could get it to work. Right now, Cora Jade does not need a bodyguard on NXT television if you just look at what's going on. Nobody is threatening Cora Jade other than Roxanne C. Oh, I have something to say about Roxanne in a moment. Hope nobody gets upset with me. But Commander Aziz has been shown as the bodyguard for Cora Jade. So that tells me that maybe a male wrestler will align themselves with Roxanne C very, very soon. And Commander Aziz will be the person in the middle between Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. So that is Commander Aziz. That is a photo. And I like Cora Jade's look. I like how they're tweaking it slowly. So you can look out for that. Now, last week, Cora Jade threw the NXT Women's Championship in the trash. Everybody that emotionally, you know, bashes WWE and creative and everything like that told you last week that just like the main roster Women's Tag Team Championships, WWE just destroyed and killed. That's the word they use. They killed the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. It's dead. It's over. Last week we said somebody is going to pull that title out of the trash. And if you think about women's championships in the trash in the past, everybody thinks about Medusa, Alundra Blaze. So what happens on NXT? Well, Roxanne Perez shows up. The NXT Women's Championship should not be thrown in the trash. It should be treated with respect, with prestige. Gee, that goes totally against what everybody's saying about the tag team championships. Medusa takes the title out of the trash. But then we get two weird things happen. Two very weird things happen. First of all, let's look at Roxanne Perez in this picture. Roxanne Perez relinquishes the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. She relinquished it. She's looking at Medusa, and she looks awfully fucking happy for someone who just relinquished their championship. Oh, give me a hug so I could smile even more. Roxanne, you just relinquished the championship because your best friend stabbed you in the back. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to Magic Kingdom. The fuck you smiling like that for? You're supposed to be pissed off. Look, I just won the tag titles, and now I'm forced to relinquish it. The whole entire segment, she's laughing. She's smiling. This is great. Hey, I just learned that... we can't go there. That's a little too dark. What are you laughing for? Now, let's talk about the opposite for a minute. Mackenzie Mitchell. I say this with nothing but love. But I noticed a little pattern yesterday. Look at Mackenzie Mitchell. Don't look at her outfit. Don't look at her upper torso. Just look at her face. All right. She's interviewing Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose is a heel. But Mackenzie Mitchell does not look very happy. Now we look at Mackenzie Mitchell with Joe Gacy. She's like, oh, I fucking wish I was somewhere else right now. Look at the look on her face. And then the best one of them all, her interviewing Medusa. Now, I just showed you that picture 2 minutes ago, but let's look at it again. And let's kind of zoom in. She's got this look on that face like, you fucking bitch. You motherfucker. You ain't no legend. Oh, look at you. You smell like Tony Khan's armpits. I fucking loathe you. Look at the look on her face. Medusa is a good, she's a baby face. She's good people. She's a legend, a Hall of Famer. Mackenzie Mitchell is angry. She is not having a good time yesterday on NXT. I say that joking around, everyone. But I did notice every segment, Mackenzie Mitchell, look at it. She's like, can we fucking finish this already? You know, my feet are killing me. She's got she was not having a good time yesterday. And I say that joking around. I'm a fan of Mackenzie Mitchell. But it was funny yesterday. Every segment she was in, she just had this, I don't want to be here look on her face. Now, wouldn't it be funny if we get some news later this week? Oh, Mackenzie Mitchell, then now she is leaving NXT, WWE. Would not surprise me. But, okay, so Bizarro, Roxanne Perez, very happy. Even though she had to relinquish the title. Okay, here's where it gets more bizarre. They announce next week we're going to crown new tag team champions. Now, me, I thought it would be pretty cool because everybody wants Nikita Lyons to have a championship sooner than later. I thought it would have been cool if Nikita Lyons would have taken the other title And then when other women go up to her and say, like, you didn't earn that championship. Why do you have that title? You know, I have Nikita Lyon. Say, okay, take it from me, bitch. Yeah, take it. Yeah, take it. Look, I'll close my eyes. Take it. Yeah, it's yours. I think that would have been pretty cool, Nikita Lyons and Roxanne Perez as a tag team. But no, we're getting four other tag teams next week. And it's an elimination match. And guess what? Roxanne Perez is not in it. You give your tag team championship up. You got this look on your face that you're about to have ice cream sundaes with Medusa at TGI Fridays. And WWE does not even allow Roxanne Perez in storyline to get another partner of her choice to try to regain those championships. This is what we got next week. Nothing against Tatum Paxley and Ivy Nile. I like them both. They got no shot, in my opinion. Katana Chance and Kayden Carter have gotten way too many opportunities the last month and a half. They should get no shot. Yulisa Leon and Valentina Veroz, honestly, I think some people out there might turn around and say, oh my God, Zelina Vega is back. Because the girl on the right looks awfully a lot like Zelina Vega, but it's not. I don't want any fucking Puerto Rican fans to get mad at me or Spanish fans say, oh, why do you guys, they all look alike? No, she actually, a face does look a lot like Zelina Vega. But does anybody that follows NXT give a shit about them yet? So does this leave Toxic Attraction to get those belts back? And if they do, are people going to say, the fuck is Triple H doing? What was the point of taking the titles off of them a couple of weeks ago? Oh, we just did that so we could create the storyline with Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. So what do you do? What do you do? That is the match for next week. I'm happy that they're keeping the tag titles around because everybody else was saying, oh, WWE just killed that division too, killed those titles. Never thought that. Thought, okay, she threw it in the garbage. Someone's going to take it out of the garbage. Medusa. And that's what we got. All right. So yesterday, Grayson Waller over Wesley. Wesley's storyline has already gotten the shit very, very quickly. Apollo Crews over Zion Quinn. Zion Quinn showed yesterday that he may be a future star, but he's not a star right now. Not very good match yesterday from Zion Quinn. Zoe Stark over Gigi Dolin. Zoe Stark cutting a very passionate promo at the beginning of NXT. It was pretty cool. You know, because I think back as Zoe Stark before she got injured, I don't really remember much other than when she was teaming with Io Shirai. And if people remember, she was a heel for a majority of those segments. Remember when they were in the restaurant? Remember Zoe Stark? You know, there was never a moment where the fans were really behind Zoe Stark. They got behind her yesterday. So that was pretty cool. Zoe Stark is legit. She's definitely legit. Yesterday she beat Gigi Dolin. Giovanni Vinci over Andre Chase. And Tony D'Angelo and the family beating Diamond Mind. Roderick Strong, we got to see what happens next week. If you follow the scenario that we've talked about, we're in the final chapter of Roddy Strong. In this whole set of circumstances, we'll see what the next page is. I do not see Roddy Strong showing up in AEW, especially during this Trios tournament. Look, I think Roddy Strong will ultimately be an awesome trainer in wrestling. But I think Roddy Strong does not want that yet. Interesting, they did not have Santos Escobar return yesterday. There is definitely a setup in place to have this family break up. They closed with Medusa with those women's tag championships and, you know, Toxic Attraction, you know, meeting up with Medusa outside. You thought we were going to get some attacks and stuff like that, and it really went off the air, uneventful. The rating yesterday was 600,000, higher than last week, above their 2022 average. 600,000, I think it's a decent number. Next week, we got a pretty decent card. Now, we have that four-way elimination match to crown the new women's tag champs. Next week, we have Mandy Rose versus Saray. And then we have Solo Sikoa versus Von Wagner in a street fight, I believe it is. honestly never thought that I would get into Solo Sikoa and Von Wagner feud, but they've actually done pretty freaking good. That is a storyline that I wouldn't mind going for a couple of more weeks. They actually have done pretty good together. So Roddy, like I said, everybody, Roddy sounds like Marina wrestles, if you understand what I mean by that. So, all right. We're going to start bringing this home soon. We have a few minutes left. One other thing I wanted to make a joke about. Yesterday, Kiana James doing sort of a Dean Douglas promo gimmick in NXT. A little like screen analyzing the women's division, focused on Nikita Lyons. She reminds me of Stephanie McMahon from years past. If Stephanie did not have the blonde hair on that TV show, what was that show? I remember the name yesterday. I can't remember it now. Undercover Boss, I think it is. You look at Stephanie when she was in Undercover Boss. If she would have kept her hair brown, she looks exactly like Stephanie from Undercover Boss. But one thing I thought was hilarious yesterday, I don't know if Taylor Wilde still works for Sunglasses Hut, but I don't know how somebody in production in WWE yesterday didn't pick up on it. See my glasses? I don't have any other glasses in this room right now, but you see my glasses? You don't see any light through my glasses. Sometimes when I do an episode, you will see the reflection of my computer screen in my glasses. That's because I grabbed the wrong pair and I don't grab the ones that have the filter to block out the light. So that is something that you buy. You get glasses made up so you don't have reflection back in your eyes. She did a segment yesterday, and even if there's no strength in the lens, even if they're not like nearsighted or reading glasses, she was reading a fucking teleprompter. If you go back and you look at that segment, you could even see it a little bit in the picture I'm showing you now. That is not the video screen that we all saw with Nikita Lyons on it. She reading a fucking teleprompter, and it's glaring right through her glasses. And I'm like, her glasses are part of her entire gimmick. How do you not go to any sunglass place and just say, give me a pair of glasses that block out the lighting? The blue lighting, the white, whatever it is. I was shocked. Lyons says that Taylor Wilde works in Toronto right now. Well, it doesn't mean that Toronto doesn't sell sunglasses, but she used to, yeah, people that don't know why I said that with Taylor Wilde, a little controversy back in the day. She was working for Sunglasses Hut the same time I believe she was working for TNA, which is fine. I commend anybody who works hard, even if it's retail. I felt bad when Shane Douglas was working at Target. Not because he worked there. He was a manager there. He was making some decent money. But people belittled the guy because he's working to raise, you know, money for his family. You know, he's got a family to feed. People used to make fun of him because of it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, I used to love talking to Shane Douglas. If I lived in Pittsburgh and he was at Target, I would just to be a dick. I would go up to him, sir, Anthony, what are you doing in Pittsburgh? Oh, I'm good. I'm just here buying light bulbs. How much is this light bulb? And then he gives me the light bulb. And then I leave. And then I find like a home, a Target pen. How much is this pen? And you just keep going up to him and say, look, any buy one, get one free sales out there? You know, I would just keep trolling him. I'd be like, you know, can I put this on layaway? You work good, though. You work good. All right. Let's briefly talk about Mr. Flair. This is the final card for Ric Flair's last match. I heard we may get one or two matches still added last second. Not needed. Not needed at all. So for those on audio only, let me read you the lineup, because the lineup is a big card. But at the same time, though, you know that if something does happen, you know, this is going to be, you know, one that, you know, will live in infamy. But you have Josh Alexander defending the Impact Heavyweight Championship against Jacob Fatu. We have a four corners match of Jonathan Gresham versus Nick Wayne versus Allen Angels versus Konosuke Takeshita. I'm not pronouncing it Excalibur way. They purposely pronounce it a different way so we don't say, I'm going to go take a shitta. You know, Konoshiki Tokushita. No, it's spelled Takashita because that's how you say it. I don't give a shit what they say. The Von Erichs, Marshall and Ross Von Erich versus the Briscoes. We have a bunkhouse battle royal. The Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards versus the Motor City Machine Guns of Alex Shelby. Shelby's a car. Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Ricky and Kerry Morton with Robert Gibson, who will be looking in two different directions at the same time. He will be looking out for his partners, and he will be looking behind him. They will be taking on the very intimidating tag team of Brock Anderson and Brian Pillman Jr. Rachel Ellering, Jordan Grace, and Deanna Purrazzo. This will be a three-way for the Knockouts Championship. We will have Ray Phoenix versus Bandy. I want to see how they pronounce that motherfucker's name. I'm going to bribe Conrad, please. Whoever announces them, I don't want to hear Ray Phoenix. I don't want to hear Konosuke Tokutada. I want to hear Ray Phoenix, and I want to hear Konosuke Takashita. I love Excalibur, but fuck that. Ray Phoenix versus Bandido versus Laredo Kid versus Taurus. AAA Lucha Libre rules. We have Killer Cross taking on Davey Boy Smith Jr., and this is an MLW sanctioned match. And then we have Ren Narita versus Yuya Uemura for representing New Japan. So we actually have MLW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan, and Impact, and AAA officially. If you notice, there's no AEW logos on this banner. I know Allen Angels, you know, was an AEW, you know, but there is no Ring of Honor logo. There is no AEW logo, which is very interesting. And then we obviously have the main event of Andrade and Ric Flair, father-in-law and son-in-law, versus Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, with Karen Angle in their corner. And I guess the question everybody has, besides if anything will happen to Ric Flair, but could we see Charlotte Flair make an appearance? I think it is possible. I know Charlotte Flair is a WWE contracted wrestler, but this is her father's last ever match. It would only make sense that her Ric Flair's family be in attendance. Charlotte Flair has to be there. Her husband is there. Her father is having his last match. It would look awful if Charlotte wasn't there. You know how awful WWE would look? Because you know people online. I hate to be a jerk, but let's be honest for a minute. You don't think that these people who really rip WWE any way they can, you don't think that they're hoping to God Charlotte doesn't show? So they could write, our sources tell us, is that WWE would not let Charlotte Flair attend her own father's last ever match? You know how ridiculous that sounds? But you know there's going to be assholes out there that are going to say that. So I believe Charlotte Flair absolutely will be there. Yeah, I think David Flair will be there as well. Sure, I definitely see that. As much as I think, even if this was my favorite wrestler, Terry Funk of all time, this does not look like somebody who should be in a wrestling ring. And if you celebrate this, then you can't knock anybody that wants to have one last match, no matter what condition they are in. Now, let's give a little compliment to Ric Flair. I don't want to be completely cold with this. Let's give him a compliment. He has taken this seriously. He has legitimately worked his fucking ass off for about 6 months. This is not 2 weeks of cardio training. He has been working at this for 6 months. And we have not heard of any complications. I mean, I don't think we would have been told of any complications anyway, but he has been doing this for about 6 months now. Jay Lethal feels comfortable enough. Andrade feels comfortable enough. And everybody who's involved with this feel comfortable enough. So I truly believe that everything will be fine. I think Ric Flair will be blown up early because the adrenaline of it hitting him that this is it. This is it. Even if there's money still left on the table that he could do it again down the line, that emotion could blow him up. So Andrade and Jay Lethal will be crucial in this match. Jeff Jarrett, of course, as well. But the focus will be on Andrade and Jay Lethal more than you realize. There'll be a lot of gaga on this. Ric Flair is not taking the shirt off, obviously. But I just hope it goes without complication. No business this should happen. And it's happened in Nashville because of the lack of state athletic commission. Remember my report about their state athletic commission and then how non-existent it is. So, you know, if something does go off the rails, you know, look, at the end of the day, this is a huge gamble for a few people involved. Now, God forbid something happens to Ric Flair. Nobody's going to be suing anybody. I guarantee you Ric Flair has signed a lot of legal agreements that God forbid something goes wrong, nobody's going to be suing anyone. But that perception that you even agree, you know, nothing against Jim Crockett or whoever's there, David Crockett, you know, like if something goes wrong, the fact that these people in the inner circle tried to make logic that somebody almost 80 years old with a pacemaker with major health issues, and you use people's emotion that it's his last ever match to override the fact of his health issues. I don't care. It is about the money. It is about the money. When people say, oh, it's not for Ric Flair, it's not about the money. You pay for everything. You even want to smell Ric Flair walking to the ring, you got to pay for it. This is all about money. Ric Flair's entire life has been about wrestling, pussy, and money. This is all about money. This is about having one last match. Everything about this is for some gain. This is not about bucket list, you know, feeling that ride one last time. This is about money just as much as everything else. And if something seriously goes wrong, that idea that money was more important than, you know, somebody's... Imagine, I wonder if any laws about that. You know, I don't know. I will tell you this. The $1 million question will be, what doctor cleared him? Because for every 50 doctors that said, are you fucking nuts? I don't even want you on a treadmill. I got to know who the doctor was that cleared him. Is there even going to be a doctor in attendance? All right. I don't think Flair needs the money, Mark. Oh, God. That's awesome. Mark Anderson, shout out to you. Did you hear how that came out? He wrote in the chat, Flair needs the money. And I just said, Flair doesn't need the money, Mark. That was good. Get it, money, Mark? All right. We're at an hour and 23 minutes. We got about 5 minutes left. I am extremely tired. I feel awful. I stopped keto 2 days ago. I feel like shit. And I did a Q&A earlier today, and I got to still do some editing so you all could enjoy that tomorrow early. So, we nailed that one. So I'm looking, is there any final questions anybody have, or could we just jet out of here now? So, look, AEW tonight, I think AEW, does it break a million tonight? You know, their rating, didn't it go down last week for the barbed wire match? I think, AEW was very smart to have Bryan Danielson wrestle the main event. Because you know, if Bryan Danielson was back already, he probably would have opened Dynamite tonight. But you started with Moxley, and you ended with Bryan Danielson. No William Regal on commentary for the main event, by the way. Did you notice, right after the Moxley match, William Regal said, thank you and good night. And he did not return for the Bryan Danielson match. Very interesting. You would think you would want William Regal on commentary to put over Bryan Danielson's return and show a little bit of praise. Instead, we had Jericho on commentary. Not complaining about Jericho, but very interesting that William Regal was not on commentary. Oh, yeah, we got to do a contest. That's right. I knew there was something we forgot. All right, here's the wheel. Very quickly, we have to give away this autographed photo of Gigi Dolin. Everybody that was at the watch party yesterday and were active, you know, socializing, you're in it. So let's put the wheel on the screen and let's spin the wheel and let's see who wins it. Good luck. Who wins the Gigi Dolin signed photo? Who gets it? Who gets it? Eric Williams. Congrats to Eric Williams. So he gets the Gigi Dolin photo. So we have another watch party Friday for Rampage and SmackDown. People are asking me to put a Vince McMahon photo up. So we might do a Vince McMahon photo. I got the Vince McMahon money over here. Well, let's see. Get the Vince McMahon money over here. So might ultimately give that away. Hey, you know, for those that are like, oh, he won again. You know, not everybody claims their prizes. There's a couple of prizes that have not been claimed over the last week. They will be back up for grabs. So, all right. Let me answer a couple of quick questions. And I know there was one about Mustafa Ali. And I mean, we really didn't want to talk about Raw SmackDown today, but KD is good people. He is family. KD always, you know, gets one. He knows it's too early to tell. Do we think Mustafa Ali will get his release if he still wants it? Shout out to the watch party family. KD is on all of our watch parties. And I will incorporate Mustafa Ali with tonight's show. Tonight's show, we don't talk about Raw SmackDown. But I'm going to throw one at you right now, everybody. I predict Mustafa Ali going back to NXT. Not really a prediction. It's more of just an idea and a thought. Apollo Crews came back to NXT. And with all due respect, you know, to me, my favorite moment is him in a diner going up to somebody. He doesn't have any food or drink on his table, and the other person had no food or drink on his table, and he walks up to someone and is like, is there a problem? Is there a problem here? Like, Apollo Crews' NXT run, the greatest moment is him in a diner. I think Apollo Crews, it's not working out very well. He beat Zion Quinn, and yes, he is there to help with the veteran presence, to help some of the young stars of tomorrow, but it does not feel like it's clicking. I would put Mustafa Ali in NXT. And I think Mustafa Ali versus Bron Breakker would be damn interesting. I would like to see Axiom take on Mustafa Ali. I'd like to see Mustafa Ali against several people in NXT. I think Mustafa Ali could very well end up in NXT. And I'm not saying that he would beat Bron Breakker for the championship, but I could see Mustafa Ali challenging Bron Breakker. You know, Dolph Ziggler helped Bron Breakker more than you can imagine. Yes, Dolph Ziggler did get a run with the championship, but, you know, I don't see it with Mustafa Ali. But I think Mustafa Ali, oh my God, put him in NXT. Yeah, I put Shelton Benjamin in NXT. I would consider putting Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin in NXT. Let them go against the Creed brothers. Let him go against Legado del Fantasma. You mean to tell me Shelton and Cedric? I mean, Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander, WWE's considering about keeping him as a regular tag team. I could see them go in NXT and they both go up against Legado. I think it would be fucking phenomenal. I think Mustafa Ali right now may be best suited going to NXT because he came back to the main roster and it was so awful. And we saw it. We saw it. Ciampa's beating him up week after week after week. And you go to Mustafa's social media and he's doing skits, making fun of The Miz. And he says nothing about Ciampa. Guy's handing you your ass for no explanation week after week, and he doesn't say a damn thing. Maybe Mustafa Ali was doing his best Tony Khan impersonation. Maybe Ciampa was doing his best MJF impersonation. So Ali right now, since he has come back, I think it's been a flop. It's been a flop. I don't know how he feels. But with the Triple H creative change, maybe you put some new life in Mustafa Ali by going to NXT. That's what I'd like to see happen. So, all right. With that said, we are going to jet out of here. No, Ali did not walk out again. I want to make that clear. Not that we're aware of. But I think Ali really would be best suited right now. Put it this way. Put him in NXT before he complains. Put him in NXT before others really start complaining. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do it. And, you know, remember, you know, his salary is obviously higher than what NXT's normal salaries would be. But not only would it give a little name value on NXT, but it would help elevate some stars of tomorrow. Grayson Waller versus Mustafa Ali. Grayson Waller, I can't believe that I'm a fan of that guy's work. I never thought in a million years I would ever become a fan of Grayson Waller. To me, he looked too much like Vanilla Ice. Like, and I can't stand fucking Vanilla Ice. He just looked like Vanilla Ice. But he's good. Okay. I'm going to jet out of here. We're at 90 minutes. So leave your comments. And don't forget, if you want to be in on that giveaway that we do All Out Weekend. Now, yes, All Out is on the 4th. I'm getting married on the 3rd. It's not totally out of the question. Maybe I do an all-out. Oh, there is one other story. Jesus. One of the most important stories. It's in the title of tonight's show. How do I not bring this up going off the air? We got to talk about this. We do have a story. Fightful. Got to give them credit for this. We don't know if it's true. I'm looking into it. I have checked with people that I talk to. I haven't gotten an answer back yet. Fightful is reporting that NXT is going to have a premium live event the same night as AEW All Out. I'm going to tell you why I think that is an excellent idea. I know what some of you are thinking right now, DT, what are you, fucking nuts? Why would that be a good idea? I'm going to tell you why right now. I brought it up a little bit yesterday on Patreon. AEW, let's say, does 1 million viewers on Dynamite. Let's just average it out to a higher number. They do 1 million viewers a week. Okay? 1 million viewers. Their Forbidden Door pay-per-view buy rate, some people said 120,000, 100,000, whatever it is. Go one pay-per-view before, double or nothing. You know, the night CM Punk won the title, MJF, Wardlow. That pay-per-view buy rate, I think, was around 150,000, okay? Let's be generous and say it was 150,000. What do you think the pay-per-view buy rate would be for All Out? Let's say it's 150,000. They get 1 million viewers on Dynamite. That means 15% of those viewers buy the pay-per-view. Yes, before anybody says it, a lot of people watch the pay-per-views illegally for free. They'll go in a chat room. They'll go on Discord. They'll watch a stream that someone else is showing. Yes, I agree. Yes, no question. But as far as paying customers, only 15% of Dynamite viewers are going to order that pay-per-view. So what do you do about, okay, 15% order the pay-per-view, another 10% watch it for free. Fair? That's 25%. That is only one quarter of Dynamite viewers. What about all the WWE fans that don't watch AEW programming, that would not order an AEW pay-per-view? What do you do about all those other fans that maybe want to watch a little wrestling that Sunday night, but, you know, they don't want to order AEW? So understand, even though AEW is going to have their all out, WWE would not have NXT on to try to hurt AEW's numbers. That's stupid. Anybody in their right mind that thinks that NXT would be competing with AEW, send me whatever you're smoking. The idea is you have 75% of AEW fans not ordering or watching an illegal stream. They're not watching wrestling that night. You have a boatload of WWE fans that don't watch AEW programming, then they're not watching wrestling that night. So you give them something. You give them something. That's why I think NXT doing a premium live event in no way, shape, or form is trying to hurt AEW. Yes, I agree with some of you are saying Tony Khan will jump all over that. That is Tony Khan's ignorance. And if I was Tony Khan, I'd probably be a little annoyed at it. But understand, too, it is Labor Day weekend. It is Labor Day weekend. A lot of people do not have to work on that Monday. And believe me, you know, AEW, their pay-per-view is going to probably go to like 12, 12:30 in the morning. It could be a little later than that. So WWE doing a premium live event for NXT is not competing with AEW. That is very smart because three quarters of the Dynamite viewers will not be watching AEW live Sunday, September 4th. So, yeah, I see nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Even if NXT draws 10,000 viewers, it is not USA Network. If this was a USA Network event, then I would rip the crap out of WWE and say, you deserve to get no ratings. But this is streamed on Peacock. No one out there knows how many people are watching a Peacock live stream. Sorry, you're not going to get Brandon Thurston. You're not going to get Fightful. You're not going to get me with Sausage. You're not going to get anybody out there that's going to say 63,000, approximately 60,000 fans watched WWE NXT on Peacock last night. No, those numbers are not given out. So you will not know how many people actually tuned in to NXT. Even if it's 5,000, it is on Peacock. If you already have a stream, a subscription, you don't pay anything extra for it. It is free. So that is for everyone else, Labor Day weekend, that wants to watch a little live wrestling and don't want to spend $60 for an AEW pay-per-view. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. If you disagree, I totally respect your view on it. But that's my take on it. Now, it's not official. Right now, the only thing we know is in a couple of weeks, they're going to do a theme called Heat Wave for a Tuesday NXT episode. It's going to be called Heat Wave, kind of reminiscent to ECW. I used to love the Heat Wave. Heat Wave 98 is one of my favorite ECW events of all time. Heat Wave 98 is one of those rare events that I could watch it from start to finish every single time. It beautiful flow the entire night. Anyone out there, if you've never seen ECW Heat Wave 98, if you watch it, I honestly think that you will say to me, DT, I know exactly what you mean when you say that it flowed perfectly from beginning to end. Some events just segue beautifully into other matches. That night, for some reason, something about it, it wasn't just the people wrestling. There was a beautiful flow that whole night. Spectacular. So, all right, now we can officially leave. So I thank you all for spending some time with me tonight. Again, in the comment section, post who you think are going to be the first AEW Trios champions. You have between tonight and Wednesday, I believe it's August 3rd. You have until August 3rd. And what I will do, I don't care if there's 1,000 of you. I know there won't be, but I'm going to put a little comment under each person's entry so you are entered. So if anybody decides to post it 3 weeks from now, too late. You have a whole week to post who you think will be the first AEW Trios champions, and you got to pick all three names. We'll get something from Tony Khan. I am working on it. I DM'd somebody yesterday who gets me some AEW stuff, and he wrote back to me. He says, LOL, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, I think, you know, some people would really like a Tony Khan autograph. You know, not mocking, legit. He's like, okay, I'll work on it. He'll get me something. All right, everybody. If you are enjoying this episode, or if you enjoyed it, hit that thumbs up. If you know anyone else out there that would like the channel, let them know about it. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. It's free. And don't forget, support Blue Wire and Pro Wrestling TV. That is my audio and video homes. And we have some announcements coming up soon, some pretty big announcements. Another Forbidden Door podcast episode is going to happen. And it's with somebody that I think a lot of you would least expect. It's going to be interesting when this one goes down. So it's not anybody I've ever done a show with before, but there's something in the works that's going to happen. So it's going to be pretty wild. But when it's official, then I'll let everybody know. So be well, everybody. Much love. And I will catch you all again Thursday for the Q&A. 12 noon will be the time we release it. And then Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m., Don Tony Show. Little SummerSlam preview. We'll talk about the situation with Riddle. We'll talk about a few other things. We'll have an update, sure, for Seth Rollins by then. And, you know, Seth Rollins is going to be involved in a high-profile match. So we'll talk about it on Saturday. So good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.